Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our years in prayer for illumination. Let us pray. God of wisdom, by your Spirit, may your Word be proclaimed, that we may know good news in our hearts and minds and bear witness to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in word and deed. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that we might hear your word to us today. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is Psalm 98. Listen to God's word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have given him victory. The Lord has made known his victory, and he has revealed his vindication in the sight of nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break from joyous songs and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre, and with a lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the God, Lord. Let the sea roar and that fills it, that the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The second scripture reading is from the book of Micaiah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubbled. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revered my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they with the ashes under the soles of the feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, please join with me in the spirit of prayer. O holy and gracious God, may my words this day be your words, and may your words take root in our hearts so they grow and flourish and bring us closer to your kingdom that you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are some passages in scripture that are pretty intense, sometimes so much so that it causes us to fidget a little or sit up straighter in our pews as we hear them. Malachi gives us one of those moments today, which is why I think it's worth reading these three verses again. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't think these words would be the ones that are stitched onto a decorative pillow. And I don't think any of these words are the ones that are found in greeting cards. Thinking of you, you shall tread down the wicked. So I don't think Hallmark is rushing to make that one, although when I do think about it, I do know a few people who actually would love that kind of card.
This passage seems intense because it almost sounds like the kind of fire and brimstone message found in angry pulpits. The imagery is big and forceful. It feels like wrath. And most of us instinctively brace ourselves, myself included, when we hear scripture that sounds like this. But these words were written to give hope. Hope to a community that desperately needed it. We are now in the very last book of the Old Testament. Like the other minor prophets, Malachi is a short book spoken to a specific moment in the life of God's people. If you remember our text from last week, Haggai was prophesying to the people after they returned from exile and gave them the command to rebuild the temple. Fast forward to the next generation in the same community. Roughly 60 to 80 years have passed, which is long enough for the people who have rebuilt the second temple to have grown old. And now, most of the people never knew exile or even the rebuilding of the temple. And this new generation began struggling with corruption among leaders and a widening economic disparity. Through this short book of four chapters, we hear a kind of dialogue between God and the people. God names the places their life together has become corrupt, and the people respond with confusion or defensiveness because they do not understand how they drifted from the faithfulness they intended. The book of Malachi opens with the people questioning if God still loves them. And in the second chapter, the people ask, where is the God of justice? Then, in chapter 3, when speaking about the corrupt leaders in the community, Malachi describes God as a refiner's fire, like when purifying silver or gold. The fire never destroys the metal, but instead heats the metal until the impurities rise to the surface and can be removed so the beauty beneath is revealed. By the time we reach the passage we heard from today in the fourth chapter, the imagery widens. Instead of just focusing on the leaders, Malachi describes a fire that sweeps across the whole landscape of injustice. That refining fire of chapter 3 becomes the cleansing fire we just read a moment ago. For Malachi's listeners, this carried the meaning of clearing away what harms the community. This time, like a field that must be burned to make way for new growth. And then, right after the image of burning, right in the middle of our three verses, we are given an image of a sunrise. The sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And here's a special fascinating connection that makes my nerdy Bible heart sing. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, which means the messenger, ends with a promise of a messenger, Elijah. And then the Gospel of Mark, which most scholars believe was the first of the four Gospels written, opens with a messenger, John the Baptist, saying there is one coming after him who will baptize the people with the Holy Spirit, which is further expanded on in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, saying the one who is to come, Jesus, will baptize the people with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is a cleansing fire that will heal the people.
Last Sunday, after our worship services, I went to a lecture hosted at Muhlenberg College, where Dr. Damon Berry spoke about the social patterns that can draw people toward acts of extreme violence or terrorism. He described a staircase, 5 steps that lead a person from ordinary frustration all the way to violent extremism. But before he explained the steps, he asked a simple question. How many of you believe that there is injustice in this world? And by a show of hands right now, how many of you believe that there is injustice in this world? The entire room, like ours, raised their hands. And he explained that most people remain at this level. This is a ground floor for all of us because we are aware that the world is not just. But after moving past steps 1 and 2, the third step is when people begin aligning themselves with groups that share their anger or amplify their grievances. And then the fourth step is leaning into an us versus them mentality, that it is the job of the us to fix the them. The fifth step is the final step, committing the act of extreme violence against the them. While this staircase that Dr. Berry was speaking on is specifically on the steps that lead people to violent extremism, I can see those same steps happening in the everyday life of society. Scroll through social media or listen to political rhetoric. Watch how quickly people sort each other into camps. Those people are the problem. People like them are ruining the world. We're the righteous ones, and they're the wicked ones. People can begin with a longing for justice and slowly find their world narrowing until they believe that goodness only exists within their own group. And by doing so, we lose sight of the shared hope that binds communities together. But Malachi is prophesying to the entire community. He is inviting the entire community to trust that God's refining work is directed toward the injustice that wounds people, rather than toward the people themselves. God's judgment is aimed at removing the harm, not the person, so that what remains is the possibility of restored life for everyone. When God brings restoration, God brings it with a generosity that does not mirror our own divisiveness, our own us versus them mentality. The sunrise falls on everyone. The healing is meant for everyone. Psalm 98, our other passage for today, echoes that same vision. The psalmist describes creation responding to God's justice with music, as though the rivers and the hills can sense when things are finally beginning to be right. And then the psalm, Psalm 98, ends with saying, God judges the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. It is naming that God's judgment is a promise that God's justice will be great enough to heal whatever is broken. And God's judgment in the world is a source of joy. God's judgment is a source of joy rather than anxiety, not because life is simple or that there is no pain, but because God's promise of judgment is rooted in healing. Malachi describes the joy of calves running free. And by doing so, once again, is painting a picture of the joyful, healed life for the people who have carried heaviness for a long time. And God says all of this shall come, not might come and not can come, this shall come. This is God's unwavering promise. And this promise continues. The messenger prepares the way. John baptizes in the wilderness. Christ enters the world carrying the fullness of God's healing. And then Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Each step invites us to believe that God's healing is part of our journey, our collective journey as the people of God. There is injustice in this world. We know this. There is injustice in this world. And it is tempting to name a group of others as the them. But there is no them. There is injustice, but there is no them. Not in God's healing. And so we pray, burn away the injustice, O God, and let us, all of us, find healing in you. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.